till the hurt is gone. The hurt.
Glad you're here tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
It's been a good day in the Lord's house. And appreciate seeing you this evening. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the New Testament book, same book we were in this morning, 1 Corinthians 12. We were in 1 Corinthians 11 this morning with our communion. And we'll be moving on from that. We appreciate what the Lord did with that. And of course, we know that Paul had set some things in order there, the Corinthian church with the Corinthians, concerning doing all of your fellowship and breaking of bread at home. And when you come to the Lord's table, it's a very sobering time, a time of observance. Of course, we had the bread. We partook of the bread, the body of Christ, which pictures the cup, which pictures the purity of the blood of Christ. And now Paul is moving on, and we're in chapter number 12. And he begins this chapter dealing with spiritual gifts. Another area he wants the Corinthians to understand, to have knowledge in. He says in verse number 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." I did a little study the other day on how many times Paul has said that. "I would not have you ignorant." And he says it quite a bit. Many times he talks about it concerning the Lord's second coming. "I'll have you not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those who went on to be with the Lord. He says it here, and he says it in Romans 1. But he desires that the Corinthians understand some things, not only of the Lord's table, but when it comes to the body of Christ and how the body operates. So he starts off by saying that I want you to understand spiritual gifts. Paul spends at least half of this chapter covering that idea. In verse number 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. So he talks about just in those three verses, diversities of gifts, administrations, diversities of operations. And so Paul is really leaning in to the operation of the church. Again, he talked about the ordinance of communion. The other ordinance we all know is baptism. And now Paul kind of changes gears because he is painting an illustration of the body, a physical body. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so Paul is paralleling a physical body to the invisible body of Christ, the spiritual body. We know that the local church contains the spiritual body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ. As we said this morning, he is the loaf, and we're pieces of that loaf. He's the bread of life, but we are pieces of that bread, the scriptures say in chapter 10. And so Paul is drawing a conclusion, and he wants us to see something in comparison to our physical bodies in light of our spiritual togetherness in his church. He spends a great majority of the time, and we're going to get into this, some of these things in just a moment, so I don't want to go over them and backtrack and go over them again. But in verse number 15 and 16, he talks about the foot of the physical body, the hand, the ear, the eye, and on all the way down through verse number 24 and 25. He explains things, the physical body contrasted with the spiritual body of Christ. I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 27. And the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want to take those last three words, members in particular, and I want to use that as the title of my message tonight, members in particular. You know, in the world system, I believe it'd be safe to say that we are all a number. When we go to the poll to vote, they count the votes. We're a number in voting. When they do the population tolls, and I guess they do that based upon those who voted. I don't know. Licenses and all of those things, people that are registered to vote. But we're a number in this world system. But tonight, when it comes to the body of Christ, we are individuals in particular. Each and every person in this room tonight makes up the body of Christ. Amen. And there are distributed local churches. It seems like in America, at least, there's a church on every corner. I mean, you know, a certain church would have certain viewpoints, and then there will be a disturbance and a disagreement, and they'll branch off and start their own church. Well, we all, as individuals, make up the body of Christ. And Paul is using the human body as in comparison to this spiritual body, the body of Christ. And as our physical body tonight has many members, hands and fingers and feet and toes and all the rest of it, so is the invisible spiritual body of Christ. We're all individuals in this thing. God calls us into the family of God as individuals, one by one. He speaks to our hearts and he convicts us of our sin. We repent and ask him to save us. And we turn to him in salvation. And then we are baptized invisibly by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And so we are members individually that make up the local church. And it goes forth to all local churches. We all make up the body of Christ. Tonight, I want to share with you three things about being members in particularly in the body of Christ. Some things that we can glean from this chapter that have to do with servitude, that has to do with working together, that has to do with serving the Lord. And I think because we have the human body as an example, it'd easily be understood. Number one, in verse number 14, I want you to notice in the body of Christ or in God's family, there are many members in particularly. He says in verse number 14, "For the body is not one member, but many members." He says, "For the body is not one member, but many." And I want to say tonight, in the physical body, he's talking about here, "For the body is not one member, but many." He's getting ready to illustrate. And I want to say that God's family, in God's family, there are many members. Verse 15 gives us the various parts in comparison to a human body. He says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Verse number 17 says, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" But in verse number 15 and 16, we see the various parts of the human body contrasted to the various parts of the invisible body of Christ. He says in verse 15, there's a foot, or there's feet, and there's hands in the physical body. In verse number 16, there's ears and there's eyes in the physical body. And I want to say in the body of Christ, there are those that God has tempered together who he has placed to be his feet. There are those he has placed to be his hands in the body of Christ. Various parts. I want you to notice in verse number 17 down through verse number 22, we see the importance of the various parts. Notice in verse number 17, he says, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Amen. And so we see not only that there are various parts to the spiritual body of Christ within the local church collectively, but also we see the importance of each part. He says in verse number 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?" Or where were the hearing? If God called everybody to be an eye in God's body, then who would hear? And he goes on in this verse, he says, "If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" And so if God has called everybody to be his ears, then who would smell? And he's drawing a picture here, human body, contrasted with the spiritual body of Christ, showing us the importance of every part. In verse 18 he says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." You didn't choose to be a foot, God did. You didn't choose to be a hand, God did. You didn't choose to be the eyes. God did. I didn't choose to be a nose. God did. And you didn't choose to be where you're at in the ministry, but God hath chosen us as He has seen fit and placed us in the body of Christ to serve and be a help. And so is that, that's what He says in verse number 18, that it has pleased God to set the members where they're at in the body as it is in the physical body. You know, if I was one big eyeball sitting here, you know, there's no way that I could hear. If I was one big ear, there's no way that I could smell. But God has placed every little thing in its place the same way with the spiritual body. In verse number 19 again, and if there were all one member, where were the body? There has to be many members to create a body. But now are they many members yet, but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Our physical bodies tonight, my eyes cannot say, I don't need you, hands. Or my hands cannot say, or my head cannot say, I don't need you, feet. But no, my eyes rely on my hands, and my hands rely on my eyes. My feet rely on my hands, and my head relies on my feet. And every part of the body relies on the other part of the body. And listen, God has put some of us as His eyes, as His hands, as the feet. He's the head. And that's how God has tempered His physical or His spiritual body. And we discover what our spiritual gifts are through time and through prayer and through serving, as Paul starts this chapter out in verse number 1 talking about spiritual gifts. Then we see, if you look in verse number 22, he says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. I think about tonight, the human body, and how every part is necessary. A while back I had, in fact it was probably, I say a while back, it was probably 5-6 years ago, I had a pain right here in this side of my body. And I went to the doctor about that pain and discovered it was my gallbladder. So I had it removed. I didn't even know my gallbladder was there until it started hurting. You see, that was a feeble part of my body. And but God has placed a gallbladder. God has placed kidneys, and God has placed our intestines in the insides of our body there. He has placed those things there, and they are necessary. But sometimes in a spiritual body, some people don't feel necessary unless there's pain involved. Like the time I had my, go to the doctor, son, your gallbladder's giving you trouble. Oh yeah, I got a gallbladder there. I think sometimes in the local body of Christ that sometimes we overlook people that are behind the scenes working, and people who are, you know, not in the limelight. They're not hands and they're not feet. Sometimes they're behind the scenes, and they're working for the Lord, and they're, you know, with joy, and nothing could change that. But sometimes we need to take a moment and say thank you to those who are considered feeble in their position or out of the limelight. And so tonight we see that there is an importance placed upon the various parts. Paul mentions all of these things down here through these verses. The foot, the hand, the eye, the ear, the head, the feet. All of these parts are totally reliant upon one another. And so we see that there are many members within this body. Members, many members in particular. There's various parts. Every part is important. But I want to say just a bit more about these in obvious parts. Notice if you would in verse number 23. Verse number 22 doesn't stop, it continues. But in verse number 23, he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon these we bestow more abundant honor. I want us to stop for a moment and really try to follow what Paul's saying here. When he says, and those members of the body, he is talking about the physical body here. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. The word honor here is the same word and through the idea of clothing. You see, there are parts of our body that require decency. Praise the Lord. When we all wake up, we get dressed to go to school. We get dressed to go to work. I mean, it requires decency. And so he's saying, and he's continuing this thought about those which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor or clothing. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The abundant parts doesn't require abundant honor because they're exposed. You see my hands. They don't require any abundant honor. They're exposed. My head, my feet, all those things are exposed. He says, but in verse 23, in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, things you can't see, they require honor. They require to be clothed. They require clothing because it's just a common decency. And to continue out, verse 23, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Hands, feet. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need. You don't have to wear gloves when you leave the house. You don't have to wear those things which are decent, unclothed. Stay with me a little bit. And so in verse 24, he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That, the first word in verse number 25 is a connecting word. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And he goes back into the spiritual body. Let me say this in verse 24. The Bible says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which is lacked. Basically, it goes like this. In verse 23, there's a part that is in our power to cover, to make decent, decency. But there's another part which is in God's power that he covers that makes it decent, and that is the insides. In other words, in verse number 24, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which is lacked. He's talking about the insides. We cover the outsides, God cover the insides. That, in verse number 25, that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, in the physical body, I know this feels like science class, anatomy or something, but y'all just hang with me. He says that God has tempered the body so there's no schism. The insides of us require and are reliant upon the gallbladder, the kidney, you know, all of those, the spleen, which fights bacteria and germs. Everything on the inside is reliant upon one another. God has tempered it that way. We cover our uncomely parts because decency is required. And Paul says, I'm comparing the physical body to the spiritual body, that, in verse number 25, that there should be no schism, no problem, nobody doing without, nothing lacking, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. The same way the gallbladder, the same way the kidneys, they care for one another. The spleen fights bacteria. He said that's the way the body of Christ is. God has tempered that together. We clothe our nakedness. He says that's the way the body of Christ is to be. He says we're to serve one another and we're to love one another as we are and as the Lord is blessing the church. But through all of that, I want us to notice that these are in obvious parts. In verse number 25, 24, 23, 22, There's the various parts, verse number 21, 16, 15. And then, of course, we know that there's many parts, verse number 14. I want to say tonight in the area of being members in particular, there's many members. I want to say a second thing. Not only there are many members in the body of Christ in particular, but number two, in verse number 26, there's also hurting members in the body of Christ. Look at verse number 26. He says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The word suffer here in verse number 26 is the same word, and it carries the idea and meaning of being sick or diseased. Pain, suffering, not well, physical infirmity, mental infirmity, something is thrown off within a member of the church body. And so we know that physically, when there is something wrong in our physical bodies, if it's not taken care of, it will affect the whole body. And God is saying here that when there's a member that's suffering, we ought to get down where they're at and suffer with them. The same way that our body, through the spleen, fights bacteria, that we touch germs, and the spleen's involved. It fights off bacteria and contracting things, diseases and such. Well, the same thing in the body of Christ. When we see a member that's going through a hard time, that's going through a surgery, lost a loved one, going through a deep valley, we are to jump in there, and we have been. God has been empowering us through all of the busyness here lately. I mean, it's tough when you're praying for somebody at a surgery that is, you know, having brain surgery. And it's tough following someone out to the graveyard. But guess what? It's an empowerment that God is doing, because we are operating as the body. Amen. The physical body. The spiritual body. The same way that we get sick and we get a fever and we take medication and we lay down, your body starts to go into overdrive and it's working together and it's pulling from all areas. I mean, I can't tell you. I don't know. Hey, I can't tell you everything about the human anatomy and such things as that. But I do know this, that when we're sick and something happens, there's an accident with our body. And we used to go to church with people, especially this one guy. And he was working on the job one day and got his finger chopped off. I mean, he worked at a packaging company and then got the phone call and such. He lost his, in fact, it was three fingers that he lost. Rushed him to the hospital. We had a deacon that lost an arm in an elevator. I mean, just tough stuff. He told me, he said, Brother Justin, I'm not lying. He said, I bandaged that bad boy up. I was singing Amazing Grace and going to the hospital. I said, you are a stronger man than I am. I thought I'd be seeing Jesus high and lifted up. But you know, when your body is suffering and going through things physically, I mean, components and things, they start working and moving. I'm sure from the feet up and from the head down, from both extremities all the way in, the spleen, the kidneys, the liver, everything is fighting full blown. Same thing with God's family. When someone is suffering and someone is downtrodden, someone is bewildered and going through all of the rough of the world, we as the body of Christ suffer with it. Notice, if you would, turn to the right for a moment, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Or just follow along, I'll give it to you. Verse number 14. Verse 13, then 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 14. Sorry, 13, then 14. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. But listen to this. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. And it goes on and he mentions a bunch of other things we shared Wednesday night. But he's talking about comforting the feeble-minded. Supporting the weak. Seeing someone within the body and see what they're going through and just come to their aid and their care the best that you can, humanly able, being humanly able to come to their aid. Pray for them, be with them. And I'm proud to say that I serve at a church that does that. I mean, Calvary Baptist Church is an amazing church. I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you there is a support system here that you already know about, that I'm just saying, have been seeing. But it seems like the more that we're working together and being empowered, it's like it's glowing. There's a neon sign saying, hey, we're here to help. Our bodies go through things and members of the church family hurt. We come to their aid because eventually there's a breakdown in the whole body, if not so. There's hurting members. And we know that we're here to care and to support them. But let me say this. We're not here to enable. We're here to care. We're here to support. We're here to serve with. But we're not here to enable. Meaning that when you go to the doctor, as since we're using a physical body here, the doctor will hear your plea, decide what treatment you need, prescribe it to you, and he'll get you so far down the road, and the end result is for you to be able to walk on your own too. And there are many doctors today that, and I can't speak for all doctors. I'm speaking of, you know, I guess a few that are out there. And maybe it comes from love, I don't know. But there are a lot of doctors today. There's one, in fact, one documentary I watched called, it was something about a man that had been distributing thousands upon thousands upon thousands a week painkillers to people that didn't need that much. And the end result was either death or heroin addiction. Dr. Feelgood or something like, Dr. Healer or Dr. Feelgood. But I did see that there was a care there, but at some point or other, there has to be some kind of road to recovery. I mean, it's some through physical therapy, through, you know, other avenues, natural healing, through something or another, there has to be a road to recovery. Same thing with God's church. We're here to help. We're here to aid. But listen, we want you walking on your own too, spiritually. We want you to be able to look the devil in the face and say, no, devil, not today. We want you to be able to put down the bottle. We want you to be able to put down the drugs. We want you to be able to reconcile things at home. And listen, we're here to help. We're here to aid. But the end result is for you to walk on your own. I heard of a lady one time, true story, over in Peru. It may have been Brother Don telling me. It may have been Keith Collins telling me at Floyd Road. But at one time of a visit, probably Keith Collins, I believe it was, they were planting their first church, and I can't remember where it was at. But anyway, they went, and all of a sudden, out of the woods, they see a little old lady with no legs crawling out of the woods. And she crawled up to the road, and she was scooting down the road, and she had this, it was an 18-wheeler tire that blew out. And evidently, she had cut it in half. And that was her skid pad. And she had a stick in her hand. And they asked her, what was she doing? She was trying to go to the market. She was trying to get food for her home. And what I see in that is, I see somebody, you know, who wants to make it. When he told me that story, it reminded me of someone who doesn't want to fall victim to their circumstances, is what I'm trying to say. Somebody who wants to make it. Somebody who is tired of the norm, tired of being reliant on others. Listen, there comes a point in time in life where we have to stand on our own two feet spiritually. I'm telling you, listen, this is the body of Christ, and everything that happens in the body affects one another. And so Paul says in verse number 26, 1 Corinthians 12, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And that's one way or the other. There's going to be suffering. I want to say that tonight we are members in particular. We are many members in particular. We're hurting members in particular. But then lastly, in the house of God, in the family of God, there are excited members in particular. Look at the other part of that verse in verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
Amen.
That sounds just like the family of God. At the same time, there is suffering and rejoicing taking place. And listen, there are many members. We have to be careful that not to allow the suffering of the church to overshadow the rejoicing of the members in the church. Physically, this affects the whole body. The same way that if one of our members of our physical body suffer, there's something wrong, your body starts working and responding. And if it's not taken care of, then eventually it will spread through the church. But then physically, this affects the whole body as well, positively. When there's rejoicing in the family of God, it's contagious, it spreads, and there's joy there. When you have a throbbing headache, and it has turned into a migraine, and Miss Glenda, we're almost headed to the emergency room, and you have something to take for it, not only is your migraine gone, but now you can use your hands again. Now you can go back to work. Now you can do things because that migraine's gone. And sometimes when, I don't know, you may be sick with the flu or the stomach bug. I know not long ago I had that thing, man. Whew, that stomach bug. About a week and a half. The only good thing that came out of that was 5 pounds lost. But guess what? I gained it back. I do not want to learn that way. But I the very first day that I felt some of that was lifted, I was able to get up and eat me something whole, and everything started feeling better. Everything. And then a few days later, you know, going through the house and sterilizing stuff, man, I think my OCD escalated about 5 decimals when I got sick, because it seems like every time I do this, sterilize. Okay, Christy, I sterilize. And end result, feeling better, going harder than I ever did before. You want to know why? Because like the physical body, the body responds and it goes together. It works together. It is complemented by the lack of a headache. It is complemented, works more efficiently when there's no sickness wrong with it. It's rejoicing. It's bursting with energy. The same way in the house of God. When someone rejoices, it's a burst of energy. When someone says, hey, God heals my cancer, we're to praise the Lord along with them, because it is a time of rejoicing. When we get new members and they want to serve and they're present at certain places to help, we ought to be excited and don't let the humdrum stuff drown out all of the excitement. But we deal with the humdrum stuff, but we don't forget to rejoice in the Lord. Same way that our physical body rejoices when pain is gone, is the same way the spiritual body of Christ rejoices when there is a member of it that is being honored, or something well is going on in their life. In fact, the word honored here means full of glory. Good news. I like what Philippians 4:8 says. Philippians 4:8 has to do with whatsoever things are true and lovely. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4:8. It says this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. We received a good report tonight, Brother Brian, 900 trees strong. And hey, we're praying for 1,000 to break the record, whatever the record is. Good news and report. What happened in the body of Christ tonight? Bunch of hand clapping. Brother Brian walked in, didn't know what was going on. Huh? Rejoice, good report. Full of glory. Any good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And Paul is talking about our bodies. And he says again in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, get in there and suffer with them. Take care of it. Be there for their aid. Shepherd them. Protect them. Encourage them. Or one member is honored, full of glory. There's good news to report. All members rejoice with it. So we see here that in the body of Christ, in particular, there are excited members. In the body of Christ, in particular, there are hurting members. But in the body of Christ, in particular, there are many members. And tonight, members in particular, you're not a number. You're not a number. You're not, you know, you're a person. Jesus died for you. And if you're saved, well, you know you're saved. And you are a person in particular. God cares for you. God has a place for you to serve. And when you're hurting, we will be there for you. Amen. When you rejoice, we'll be here for you when you rejoice. But we all have a part in the body of Christ. Some are visible. Some are no need to be covered, hands and feet. Some need decency, the parts that need to be clothed, and some God has tempered on the insides, and it all works off one another. And He does that so there's no schism, problem, situation. And again, if the body works as it's supposed to, this is the goal, this is the target. If the body works as it's supposed to, in the body of Christ, there will not be any schisms. But let me just say this. We haven't arrived there yet. Individually, none are perfect. And even as the body of Christ, though positionally we're perfect in Him, individually, we strive after. As Paul said, we have not yet apprehended that which we've been apprehended. But as individuals, as a church locally, that's what we're going after. We're going after a non-schism church. And listen, we've been blessed already to that end. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We pray tonight, Lord, that You would bless the invitation. If someone needs to come and do business with You, somebody may just want to come and thank You, Lord. Lord, whatever the case may be, give liberty, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand to your feet.